Welcome to Menopause Uprising with me, your host, Catherine O'Keefe. Menopause in the workplace, where can you really start? Is it overwhelming? How do we keep it simple? Today, I'm thrilled to be joined with Laura Duff and Brian Sampson from ESB, who I've been working with over the last months in rolling out their comprehensive menopause workplace program. I hope you enjoyed today's session. Any comments and a review would be great at the end. Thank you. Menopause in the workplace. It is, pardon the pun, a really hot topic in Ireland at the moment. It actually is the world over, but Ireland are certainly leading the conversation, which is brilliant. And I have been really privileged to work with one of the forerunners in Ireland, which has been the ESB. And I'm joined with Laura Duff and Brian Sampson today from the ESB. So thanks, Laura and Brian, for coming on to the podcast.
Thank you, Catherine. Thanks,
Catherine. And I think really when we look at a question I get a lot is, you know, what's happening in Ireland in relation to menopause and, you know, what workplaces, what are people doing and so forth. And it's really mixed, right? You'll have some people who, you know, maybe just do a little bit, they dip themselves into the conversation. And somewhere it's more comprehensive, like is the case with ESB. But if we think back to the time before we started working together, and you know, what was it that maybe prompted you to look at bringing in and opening menopause support in the workplace?
So we definitely had the conversation a little bit about, as part of our, as you know, we've got a very good offering in terms of our health and wellbeing supports. And we had talked about menopause, but we held a webinar in March of 2021, and it was online. Obviously, we were in COVID. And I suppose the reaction to that was really overwhelming. And I think, you know, in so many ways, I suppose the voices, we got so much feedback. And as I think I was saying earlier, the advantage of having these webinars, I suppose, online was that we were able to get that feedback more than we'd ever got before, in terms of, you know, when we'd have these events that they were in person, people would come and, you know, you might get a few emails afterwards, but with the chat that was available with these online webinars. And I suppose, yeah, the feedback was just so, you know, thanks for, first of all, gratitude for bringing it, you know, the topic up and having the webinar. People saying that, you know, they felt that their voices were being heard. The amount of chat and sharing, even after that, the openness, you know. So look, after that, we knew, you know, definitely we have to do something around this. And I suppose then very shortly afterwards, it became a big conversation out, and like Joe Duffy had his, I think, a couple of months later. So we spent that time really listening to, I suppose, what was going, the conversation was being had, what was going out there, what other companies were doing, if anything. We looked internally, obviously, we surveyed, we looked at external surveys. So what we really wanted to do was get it right. We have a huge workforce. Our demographic, obviously, we looked at our demographic. You know, it is largely male. I think we're a quarter to three quarters. But we wanted to make sure that whatever we had wasn't just going to be a tick box. It was going to cover everything. So we spent a bit of time. We talked to our employees and you know, to see what they wanted. And really, I suppose, what we discovered from that and also from learning, you know, and listening what was going on, that it was actually quite straightforward, even though it may have seemed a bit of a daunting thing to a program to bring to such a big organization. We stuck to the three kind of simple, you know, information, awareness, support, and really that in itself kind of was sort of quite easy to in the initial stages. And then that was before, obviously, we contacted you and partnered up with you, but that was really why it was a no-brainer, really.
And isn't it, I hear that so much. Like, I could talk to a workplace and they'd kind of say to me, oh, now listen, you know, our colleagues can be quiet on Teams or Zoom or WebEx, whatever, so, you know, don't. And I'm like, I'd be kind of winking. I was like, don't worry, they won't be quiet. And they'd be like, oh, no, just in case, don't take it personally. And then you find as you see, the engagement that opens up is just, it's phenomenal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I think, because it is still a personal sensitive subject, mm-hmm. you know, we can still be aware, you know, a little bit worried, like, oh, how will people respond to this? But generally, I mean, I've done hundreds of workshops now, and every time people will open up and they will share and they will support each other. And I remember that from the launch webinar that we did. There was huge support. I mean, phenomenal amount of comments coming through, which is just fantastic, isn't it?
Comments to back, I think. And then also conversations within the chat to each other. People already like, so not even just happy to share, but really wanting to, you know, share with each other.
Yeah.
Do you know that openness was just really amazing.
It's like you opened the floodgates, you know.
Yeah.
I just this morning I was with the National Women's Council and St. Pat's. They were doing the launch of some studies they had done into women's mental health. And one of the key takeaways was how much women and young girls benefit from support from each other. So it can be young girls, like, you know, through friendships, or, you know, women as they get older at any stage. It's just how important that support is. And that's whether it's at work or outside of work. But it was one of their key findings, which I think just, again, it reinforces, you know, what we know.
And I suppose just on that, I never thought of it, but families are getting smaller. So traditionally, years ago, you would have had maybe a lot of sisters, a lot of, do you know, but some girls are don't necessarily have that, you know, automatic
people to defer to, or to and of course then too with menopause they could be having a completely different experience, right? So when you kind of looked at, you know, bringing in the workplace program, did you have clear goals in mind at the time, or kind of clear objectives in terms of what you wanted to achieve?
I think we did. Yeah, we did. We had to really, I suppose, work on that whole kind of proposal to get the buy-in, you know, so we knew where we wanted to go with it. We had an idea of what it would look like. And in terms of our SharePoint site, our central place. And then we knew, you know, we had so many managers, we had to think of how we were going to, you know, have that conversation and that training there. But we had an idea. But look, obviously then when we met with you, you kind of helped us really get it over the line, or really put a bit of structure on it. Or, you know, from your experience, you were able to say, look, maybe that's not, or that might work better, or, you know, so that really helped us. It was invaluable, obviously.
And I think for you, you had already done a lot of the front loading by your survey and feedback and everything, which is brilliant. Because I often say, if you go into a workplace, and depending on the size, if you haven't kind of done those focus groups or got that feedback, it's a great place to start, because then it's a collaborative conversation, you know, right from the beginning, which I think is really important.
Yeah,
If we look and Brian, maybe I'll ask you this one in terms of it, you know, maybe have your thoughts about menopause changed from, you know, where we're at today to, you know, maybe when we started the conversations?
Hugely. I mean, I obviously knew of menopause, but I guess I had the highest possible level of understanding. You know, it might have been a one line description of what menopause is, but it's certainly been, over the last 18 months working with Laura, been a complete education for me. Taking the training with you, reading your book, listening to some of the other sessions you put on, like, you learn something new at all of these sessions. But I guess, you know, the biggest thing I've learned is the wide ranging nature of the symptoms, you know, just how impactful it can be on, I suppose, just to get through a day if they're hitting you hard, how difficult it must be to get through a working day if you've got pressure and stress in your working life as well, and how hard it must be to keep that to yourself. Because I guess one of the things we've tried to do with our menopause program as well is to kind of support normalizing the conversation in the workplace and help women and men understand it better. And part of what Laura has done is, you know, obviously working with yourself, Catherine, around educating our managers a little better, you know, how to inform us, how to have a conversation around one of their employees who may be undergoing some symptoms of menopause as well. So it's been It's been yes, a huge education for me, I have to say. And I think one of the things that struck us all during the comprehensive one-day training program we undertook with yourself as well is that, certainly for me, is that probably during my late 20s, my mom was undergoing menopause and I knew absolutely nothing about it. It was never discussed at home. I certainly don't remember seeing her with, you know, any of the symptoms, but obviously she was having them, so she was hiding them and just getting on with things to the best of her ability. And I did speak to her about it actually after the training.
Did
and she spoke about it, yeah, quite openly. Yeah, she was shocked that I asked her, I have to be honest with you.
That's brilliant, though.
Yeah,
isn't
yeah, it was, and yeah, it was very difficult for her, very, very difficult. I don't recall any period in that time where I remember seeing symptoms, or I remember seeing her suffer. So yeah, it's
and would she have known? Did she know?
Oh, she knew. Yeah, she did. Yeah. Oh, she absolutely did. Yeah, she did.
Gosh, because I think my mum is 92 now, but I can remember her having hot flushes in the kitchen.
Yeah.
But there was no conversation around menopause, and if she has dementia now, so I can't ask her. But I don't imagine that it was a conversation at that time.
Yeah.
You know?
So I grew up in a very male dominated house. So there's myself, three brothers, and obviously my dad, and then my poor mom who was on her own. So I'm sure it was very difficult for her.
Mm.
And as Laura mentioned, in the workplace, we're 75% male, 25% female. So again, there's that kind of mirroring, I guess, from my own upbringing into the workplace as well. And what I'm sure it has been up to now, very, very difficult for women to discuss and talk openly around menopause. But we are trying hard now to kind of normalize and educate our staff in ESB.
And I mean, we'll go through in a minute, you know, the steps you've taken so far, which are just fantastic. But I think, you know, doesn't that go on to how menopause, it doesn't just impact the person going through it, it's all the touch points. So it is your work colleague beside you or who's online with you, it's your manager, it's your family. And I think sometimes we forget that, and it can be very difficult for our work colleagues or, you know, anyone else who's touching off a person going through menopause. So there's many other facets to it, you know, as opposed to just the individual's experience of it as well, you know, and that's why it touches everyone in the workplace, you know, and everyone needs to be part of that conversation.
We would see that a bit in terms of, well, I certainly would, in terms of presenting on the program as part of our suite of, you know, and there could be, I could have been guilty of thinking with some of the areas, you know, when you're talking to a room full of male colleagues, that maybe this won't land, or there'll be a bit of, you know, here we go. But it's amazing, even just that little bit reminder of, you know, menopause, it indirectly affects all of us. If we think now, you know, of everybody probably has somebody in their lives right now, be it a, you know, a wife, a partner, a mother or whatever. And it's amazing how, you know, you can pick up on that engagement, the sort of the glances up, the looking that, you know, so, you know what I mean? And sometimes it's, and what we always say is just even if, you know, if you can just read up, if you go to the site, just look, and the biggest support you can be is just to know a little bit about it, so that if somebody, you know, you can understand if you're having that conversation. But I certainly would have been guilty and of thinking, oh, I've got to, you know, in the early stages, I've got to bring up the menopause support program now, and this is going to go down like a lead balloon, and you know, but not, you know, contrary to that, if you sort of say it in that way, they, you know, yeah.
I was on site with a company recently, and they were saying to me that when their manager announced that I was coming down, it was going through, they were having a team meeting. It was like, Catherine keeps coming down. It was like, you know, and they were like, sorry, what was that? And someone heard slightly menopause. And he was obviously there when I was doing the session, and he was standing there. He said, well, I can say menopause now, no problem whatsoever.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it is that kind of, you know, it is just, It is a big step to feel comfortable around using the terminology even, and just making it a normal part of the workplace. But, you know, it's definitely, as we know, it's a step that needs to happen. And so one of the fantastic things that you have now in ESB One of your support tools is the SharePoint site. So just to give listeners a bit of background to that, so that is your internal SharePoint site where we've put a lot of very good evidence-based information around different aspects of menopause with, you know, there's symptom checker, loads of information there that people can access. And I think very much that's for everybody to access, partners, family, you know, colleagues, etc.
Absolutely,
which I think is fantastic. Mm. If that's something that can be, you know, part of a workplace offering. If we look at the other pieces, so we did the general awareness training, we did the HR and manager training, and also you now have 15 menopause champions within ESB, two of them here in front of us, which is great. you know, I know we have another session now this Thursday, which is great. But is there any of those initial steps that would you say kind of stand out for you any more than the other?
Oh, I don't know about standing out more than the other. I mean, obviously the workshop that we did with yourself was just incredible for us. I think that breadth of, do you know,
yeah.
I think initially we were kind of thinking 6 hours, like Jeannie Mack, you know, and really there was...
What do you talk about?
Yeah.
Hormones about for 6 hours.
Yeah. I think that was, you know, it was great for us as a team to do it because we then, you know, the purpose of that was, yes, of course, to be champions or advocates, as we're now going to be calling them. It gave us the knowledge to be able to, as a team, drive forward with the program and understand it, all of us, do you know, and then know that we could talk to our next, you know, we're planning on rolling out more menopause advocates. So we'd be able to understand about the training and talk to them about that. I think the session that you did with our mental health first aiders was really great. You know, we've 250 odd mental health first aiders, and obviously they would, you know, in terms of, well, all of the, you know, symptoms, but particularly, I suppose, the psychological and the emotional aspects of menopause, to equip them and to have that conversation with them was really great. They really got a lot out of that.
And I think that's a really important part of the conversation, because, again, the session I was at this morning was all about the mental health, and it was very much talking about the fact that people who are working with women going through menopause, they need to have an understanding of the mental health implications. Mm. And we know that there's gaps in terms of our healthcare system in Ireland in relation to that. And, you know, that's the aims, you know, that, you know, an action plan is going to be developed. But I think that's where, for the mental health first aiders, it is, you're bridging that gap for them, because as we know, the psychological symptoms of menopause are by far the most challenging when it comes to the workplace. If you look at the outcomes to date, what's the most surprising for you?
I'd say, I mean, personally to myself, I'm still, from the launch date to now, still getting feedback directly
to
me.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, everything from asking questions around, will there be a policy? Will ESB be offering leave days around menopause? To thanks to Laura, especially for launching the program. I think one particular person had tried to have a discussion around menopause in previous years, but was kind of waved away. So she came back and she was really, really thankful. So there's a lot of very emotive responses. I suppose the thing that sticks out for me, I agree with everything Laura says around, you know, the advocates and everything that's happened to date, the manager training, but was the launch day. I mean, the emotion around it, the attendance in the room, the hundreds who joined us online, the questions that you were getting as well, Catherine. So there was great interest in it. And the follow-up from that was probably the most emotive in terms of, you know, what people were saying to us, how grateful people were. But also I think, we very recently had a discussion with someone who called me actually to say that her manager had listened to the recently update or posted, I didn't tell you this actually, session that we put online, the manager session, and I'd had a discussion. She felt, well, I can go and have a discussion now. So little things like that are just help breaking down the barriers. And, you know, of course, she's told me, but she's probably told a lot of other people as well. Yeah. So word spreads and like that as well. So I think that's been, it's just been the constant trickle of feedback. and the gratitude around it, which probably, I don't know, but it's the right thing to be saying. You know, we probably should have done something like this a long time ago.
I think it's needed the years for the conversation to open. We could all argue it should have happened 10 years ago, but at least, you know, the conversation is now well and truly opened. Yeah. And I think the last 5 years, you know, has been moving in that direction.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Last week I was doing a talk on male menopause, and a lot of the experts and researchers in that area would say that male menopause is 5 to 10 years behind where menopause is currently. Mm. And I think that's probably quite true, you know, and I'm sure we'll get to a stage there where we'd probably feel that should have been brought forward. But sure. I think the most important thing is that it's open and it's supportive. And I do remember the volume of questions. Even that day it was just fantastic, the level of engagement, which I think just shows how appreciative your colleagues are of the support. Yeah. I think that kind of brings me into, if we look at ESB, like I'm in awe of your wellbeing strategy, because, you know, to me, it's exemplary. But do you want to maybe just talk us through a little bit? Because I know it would certainly benefit any other workplaces, just in terms of where that has all kind of stemmed from and how you've gotten your direction over the years.
Yeah, I guess the company made a decision maybe around 3 years ago we've always had a very good reactive model in place. So we've had a team of EAPs and a kind of an external counseling service for staff to contact and speak to kind of make a shift towards keeping the reactive in place as well, but more proactive there as well. So, you know, we all have health and well-being. We carry around with us all the time, regardless where we are. It comes to in work, comes bring back home, we go on holidays, we have that health and well-being. So it was really to kind of help support people be themselves in the workplace. And over the last 3 years with the team, we have implemented an extensive mental health first aid program. Laura had already mentioned we've about 250 in place around the company, so we're nationwide. We've also got mental health first aiders in Bahrain, in ESB in Bahrain, and also in Britain as well. So
I
it's
never
quite,
knew
quite
ESB
extensive.
Was in Bahrain.
There you go. Yeah, we've got 90 staff out in Bahrain. Wow. So and they're very active, actually. We have a couple of wellbeing champions there as well who are great. They're really, nice. Really active and try to pull in as much of the wellbeing support and resources as they can. Obviously stress is a big thing in the workplace as well. So we have a stress management program in place, and that consists of, you know, again, there's a lot of information on our SharePoint site, but we have monthly webinars around a topic related to workplace stress, either how to identify it or manage it, or give people tools to kind of help decrease the risks around workplace stress and mitigate against it. We just recently launched a program called Be Active, which is all around not just the importance of physical exercise to our health, our mental health, emotional health, but encouraging us to move more during the day. So, hybrid working has been fantastic. I love it, but it has introduced a lot of bad habits, which is kind of meeting after meeting after meeting. You're in the seated position. So to mitigate against kind of injuries and also other metabolic disorders, the Be Active program is encouraging people to move more during the day. So it has an extensive presence on our SharePoint site as well. We have a network of wellbeing champions who support us as well. Laura has mentioned the menopause advocates as well, which we have launched. We have monthly webinars. We have a bulletin that goes out to all staff. We have an extensive calendar that provokes us to do something daily for our health and well-being as well. It might be read an article, listen to a podcast, do something, contact a friend, just something that kind of benefits our well-being on a daily basis as well. So it's really around supporting staff on all of their well-being needs, not focusing in on one particular area, but certainly for about a year and a half and during COVID, we focused heavily around mental health, again, trying to destigmatize and normalize the conversation. And that's another area where there's been a very emotive response and a lot of gratitude coming from staff as well for implementing that program.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Like, it really is. And I just think particularly, you know, we're definitely having a lot of conversations now around mental health, which is really important, you know, and particularly in the workplace as well. So it's a fantastic program. You forgot to mention that you have a state of the art, possibly the healthiest canteen I think I've come across.
Yeah. Yeah,
but then
anyone
not in Dublin might be a bit jealous of that.
We're always conscious of that. We never want to be kind of talking for all our colleagues, our lovely colleagues throughout the rest of the country.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure around the country there's lovely home-baked local goodies and so forth.
and just picking up on Brian's, like we've really good senior manager buy-in as well, which is really great. So we're part of like the safety, health and environment, that whole kind of area. And safety, obviously, look, it's core to ESB in the business that we do, but we're under that umbrella. But safety as in, you know, our own health, you know, tied in with that, we're very well supported there, which does make a difference. You know,
it's a massive difference. Because if you don't have that support trickling down, you know, you'll just hit a bottleneck somewhere. But, you know, so it is really important to have that senior management buy-in.
Yeah.
I know that Michelle Obama, when she wrote her book about when Obama was in the White House and he had a lot of his staff who were going through menopause, that he was very calm and relaxed about the whole thing. And he would just say, well, just get more fans. And there was no big deal about it.
Yeah.
But as she said, it's because obviously she was going through menopause and it was kind of all normal. And he was very supportive.
Yeah.
So coming from the top down, you know, but that senior management, the C-suite buy-in is crucial, I think, at all stages. If you were to give advice, or, you know, what piece of advice would you give to other workplaces that are maybe looking to start supporting the menopause conversation? What advice, if any, would you give to them?
Well, I suppose I would say, look, it depends. It depends on a lot of things. It depends on the size, of course, of the company. It depends on, you know, budgets. But even on budgets, I don't think I would say it's not as daunting. Going back to what I was saying at the beginning, it doesn't have to be as if you keep it to the, you know, what people want. What they want is they want information. They want evidence based information. Yeah. You know, create a SharePoint at the very start anyway. That evidence based piece is so important, because I suppose, like with anything, when there's a big conversation going out there, there's a lot of mixed information. And so people are hearing it and then they're, you know, Googling, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it's just, if you're, I think from a workplace point of view, you know, if you have that one source, or at the least you can check the sources coming in, I think that's very important. But I would say don't be put off by it, because if you just start with that, and the only other, if you could only do one other thing, I think it would be the people managers. If you can get that, obviously depending on the size of the company, because if there is that, we know the stats, you know, around people who won't, you know, they're not comfortable talking to their managers about their symptoms, or when they're off sick, that they won't disclose, you know, why. And obviously, like, it goes without saying, as we always say, look, this is not for everybody. It's not for everybody who's experiencing menopause to be talking about it. Some people, obviously, it's very private and they don't need to. But if people do need to, but I think managers, that awareness, I would go with that and then grow it from there. Support groups, which is something that we are looking at that's our next steps when we appoint our menopause advocates. I think that, again, because, look, that's because of the size of our company, it's so big, but to try and get behind this locally, you know, we've done a lot, but we want to make sure that, and it's keeping that conversation going.
Yeah.
It's just keeping it, you
alive.
Know, exactly. Yeah. So they're quite simple things to put into place, and they're not hugely expensive. So it's not a, you know, so that's what I would say to other companies.
And I think what happens is, I think a lot of workplaces now, because a lot of workplaces will either email me or they might ring me, and they're a little bit panicked because it's like, you know, where do we start? Do I have to have a policy?
Yeah.
And, you know, I often find many workplaces I've worked with, the policy can be the very last thing they've done. And I actually, the more companies I work with, the more I actually agree that it probably is a nice way to do it, because what they're doing is they're listening all the way along. Yeah. And then their culmination point is the policy. Yeah. Now, you can also do it the other way. There's, you know, but again, it's going to be, I think one of the key things is not to let overwhelm sink in, because you can keep thinking this is bigger than it actually is. And yeah. it doesn't need to be at all.
And I think that's key, Catherine, actually, because we were coming at this from a health and well-being perspective. Yeah. We weren't too worried about the policy mm. and are we getting this right or whatever. Yeah. We were just yeah. looking at supporting our staff, yeah. how we could do that. And then I suppose the policy which will come will just feed into that, so as you say.
Exactly.
You know? So it
yeah.
could be daunting maybe if you were going, you know, but it depends on different companies. You might have one mm. HR person trying to do this whole thing themselves, do you know, in a smaller company. So it's, yeah. you know.
And the thing with the policies too, they can come in under other policies.
Yeah.
You know, you can bring it in if you've other existing policies in place, you can do with that. So there's many ways to approach it. It just, again, it's just being, you know, individual. But I do think, you know, getting, it's actually ironic if you think about it, because many women going through menopause would say they're overwhelmed by the information out yeah. there. And I think workplaces, employers are also getting overwhelmed by thinking they've so much to do. But actually, in both cases, you keep it simple.
Yeah.
You know, and as you said, Laura, like 25% of women will go through menopause with no symptoms yeah. whatsoever. You know, so it's really just making sure you're supporting the other 75 that may struggle at different stages, and it's having those supports in place.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it's for me, it's been an absolute pleasure working with you, you know, from start through. And I'm just I love seeing each time when we do something different, you know, or the next stage of it, you know, what the feedback will be. And I know our next session this week is on brain fog and the cognitive. And I know that's going to be a lively chat.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the number one symptom that women find challenging in the workplace, and it impacts. But I think what I find is that there's many different levels of brain fog, mm-hmm. and we just think about memory, concentration.
Yeah.
But, you know, you'll see on Thursday, there's quite a few more levels that kind of come into play. And it's just once people have practical supports, as you know, in their working day, you know, at home, etc., how you can look after yourselves, it just changes the experience. It's like, you know, when Brian and I talked about sleep, and you have some knowledge of, you know, how sleep can go askew, and you can bring it around, it changes your working day.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to add before we finish?
I don't think so, Catherine. We've probably covered a lot there. I mean, it's been a huge success. You know, you asked Laura the question around like what advice would you give to other companies. I would say, you know, don't think about it too much. Mm-hmm. Keep it simple. I think it's for any company or any organization looking to, you know, create a culture of well-being in their organization, a menopause well-being support in the workplace should definitely be part of it. As you said, the policy can follow at the end or later. So it's not something that organizations need to get stuck on. It's the way we're doing it. And it's worked really, really well for us. And yeah, it's been an amazing education, as I say, over the last 18 months, and one I'm very grateful for.
Great. OK, well, thanks, Laura. Thanks, Brian. And lovely to chat to you. And I hope everyone enjoys today's session. And we'll be back next week with more. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Menopause Uprising with me, your host, Catherine O'Keefe. I really hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Don't forget to like, subscribe, rate and review, as it really helps the show. Tickets for the 4th Menopause Success Summit on Saturday, the 14th of October in the Royal Marine Hotel in Dunleary, Dublin, are on sale now from menopausesuccesssummit.com.